Hey there, it's Allie Brown, and I am so excited you're spending this time with me. This audio program is called Divine Success, the Seven Phases to Realizing Your Dreams, and this is a topic very near and dear to my heart. You likely already know the story of my outside success. I started my first little venture from my shoebox apartment in New York in 1999. And from there, I've evolved my business into what is today an enterprise worth millions of dollars. I'm known as the Millionaire Entrepreneur Mentor for Women, and I absolutely love what I do. My life has become truly amazing, and my blessings have allowed me to help out my family, travel the world, enjoy the good life, and best of all, give generously to causes I care about, like those I worked with on the ABC show Secret Millionaire. During that week of filming, I lived on welfare and gave away $100,000 to a few very special organizations in my area who were doing great things. Now, for years, I've been sharing all my business how-to steps along the way. I began with email newsletters and then internet and information marketing and then business startup and growth strategies, new revenue streams, and more. You can find all my courses and programs at alliebrown.com. But there's a side of the story I haven't shared fully, and it's the real inside story, and it's my personal journey, the spiritual journey, that began for me in 2003. You see, a life event caused me to cry out for help, and I received an answer. And from that day forward, I developed a strong relationship with Spirit, God, the universe. And I noticed something. The more I nurtured this relationship, the easier I was pulled forward, the less I had to push. And even though I didn't understand this relationship completely, or even at times what to call it, as long as I listened to that guidance, my life, my joy, my income continued to improve. As long as I kept that faith, there was no struggle. It was the fuel for my business, my growth, my life. There were surely some bumps in the road, and big ones too. But I noticed that as long as I stayed true to that voice of truth, I steered clear of any real trouble. Now, on the surface, I know people must have thought I was always in the right place at the right time, or I was just lucky, because I know on the outside it looked like magic. And in a way, it was. And I know it still does look like magic on the outside. But this is magic that we all have access to right now. And along the way, I vowed to learn everything I could about this beautiful win-win partnership we have with Spirit, and that one day I'd share it completely. So I've revealed bits and pieces here and there, especially with my students who I get more close to and open up a lot more to. But I wasn't quite ready to come out with my entire story and the keys to unlocking this beautiful power. Well, the time has come. I'm ready. And if you're ready to learn how you can claim this power you already have access to in your life and your business, you are going to love this session you're about to hear, which was recorded live at a recent private meeting. You see, I debuted this material at a recent retreat of the platinum tier of my Millionaire Protégé Club. And it was a group smaller than our usual 100-plus members. This was a special summer meeting we had. It was a little more intimate. And I felt it was safe ground to test my findings, share them, open up, and ask for feedback. And during this exclusive closed-door session, I walked through the seven phases in detail. From the first one that prepares you for this higher power to the last one that has to do with what I call the shadow. I told stories of when on the outside everything looked like smooth sailing and effortless success, and there was always something going wonky behind the scenes, always. And on a few occasions, it was terrifying, and even at times so painful that I felt it physically. And there were moments that I considered giving up. Have you had days like that? Because I want you to know that I sure have, and I still do sometimes as well. Please know that this is completely normal. It's how we handle these transitions that makes all the difference, and that's what I'm sharing in Divine Success. Now, honestly, I have to say I was a bit nervous to share a lot of what I did, and many of my examples were from my own life. They're events that I hadn't spoken about much beforehand, including my early religious upbringing, my first true connection with Source, my short-lived marriage, and many more. But when I looked out into the audience at the end of my talk, there were many women in tears. Several of them shared that I had finally voiced what they had gone through or were going through at that very moment, and they were extremely grateful. Some even felt a huge sense of relief, they shared with me. One member shared, "Allie, you have finally described what I'm going through, and I thought I was crazy because of it. But now I understand it's all part of the up-leveling process. Thank you." So I hope you enjoy divine success. And I hope to meet you at an upcoming event in person. Oh, and on this recording, you will also be hearing from many of my Platinum members who graciously contributed to the session with their own heartfelt stories as well. I applaud them for their transparency, because it's only when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable and open can we truly grow. Enjoy. So I think the biggest lesson I've learned since I went off on my own in 1999 is how there is no destination. This is all a journey. And the irony is, when we reach a goal, it changes our awareness. It changes our perspective on everything else, which leads us to what? Another goal, or something different, or a different turn, or an opportunity. And this is just the magic of it all. And there's no straight line. Everything that I have experienced is bumpy roads, roller coasters, even though on the surface it looks like, right? And we look at everyone who's successful, but you don't see the real journey. The real journey is in here. It's not what they did on Twitter. It's not that they were born a certain way. It's not that they met the right people at the right time. It all starts in here. And this is the journey. So my goal today in sharing this information with you is not to prescribe a certain method or change your beliefs, but to simply bring maybe a new awareness to what you may be going through, to identify some phases that I have gone through, and through everything that I have learned and studied over the last several years from experts and everything from law of attraction to I've been revisiting Christianity, which I grew up with. And the beautiful thing now is I'm seeing how connected everything is. We grow up with certain teachings in our lives, and also the experiences I've had lately, just meeting more people from all over the world of different faiths and different religions. And it's just a magical time that I think we're all finally trying to understand each other. And I feel like we're all on the same page, more or less. So what I'd like to do for the phases, as I'm going to walk you through them, share some personal parts of my journey, and then I want to open up some discussion with you all for possibly pieces that you identify with, maybe sometimes that you were on a path and took a sudden turn that looked like even misfortune and led you to something different. Just be open. And I know there are a few of you I'm going to call on later, but I'd love if you get this is Allie Unplugged. I have no PowerPoint, no handouts for you, so just take some notes. If you would like a recording of this later, we can get it to you if you would like that. And if there's anything else I wanted to tell you, I'm not sure how long this will go. And it may be an emotional journey for me to share, because I've shared pieces of this, and for so long I've taught the outside, and I've taught the marketing and the business and all the strategies. And I shared awareness on the inside, but I think I'm finally putting it all together, and that's why I want to share this with you today. So phase one, of course I have to use the flip chart. I'm sorry. And this will help. All right. Phase one. Understand, I know not all of you can see this, so I'll make sure I speak through anything I'm saying, okay? Is understand and believe. Simply to understand and believe And this is where we shift our awareness. And for me, the biggest asset that I have been able to create in my life is being certain with uncertainty. That's really all we have in the end, because nothing is certain. And we are raised to think that things are certain, and we're supposed to do things in a certain manner, or that that you should have everything planned out before you do it, which is kind of funny. I don't know if any of us have ever done that. So we all grow up understanding, we all grow up not understanding what is true, that we don't realize we can create whatever we want. Instead, we are shown how to fit into a mold, into the system, and be the peg that fits the hole. And we grow up often seeing people let life happen to them, which is why we feel so different, that we're actually, we want to create, we want to decide what we want in life. And when we're in groups like this here in Platinum, I mean, we remember this is how things should be. And then you go back, do you ever try to talk to regular people, right? I mean, they just, and, you know, they're just, it's just an awareness issue that they're not aware what they can create. And sometimes, I mean, it's, we take it for granted, and then you talk with other people and it's so evident. You're like, oh my gosh, this is just very uncomfortable that they don't even understand this capability in their lives. And I think letting life happen to you, what an insult to your creator. What an insult with the gifts that we've been given in our lives. And every one of us in here has a special gift that we've been given. That's why we look at successful people, and because most people let life happen to them, they think that it's luck. They think they were in the right place at the right time. Their path to success is just not visible on the outside. They see the byproducts. They see the wealth. They see the fame. They see the beauty. They see all the byproducts of what they're creating. And we are all here to create and grow. And God qualifies you for your next level by your yes. Many of you are here right now because you're in a business that you started around a gift that you had that made it easier for you, and it made sense. So some of you, for example, you know, for example, we have the style maven, right, who wants to help women look and feel their best. Or maybe you're a gifted problem solver and you want to go into companies and consult for them and help their business. And if you have these gifts, it's an amazing way to make a living, because not only are you using your natural talents, but you're helping others and yourself and your family at the same time. And you're also pleasing God. That's how I look at it. Because there's a great quote by Leo Buscaglia, says, your talent is God's gift to you, and what you do with it is your gift back to God. You heard that before? Said by many different people. But so beautiful. It reminds us that we're here to use these gifts. So today I want to look closely at what it takes to deliver yourself and your business to the next level from this internal perspective. And I've talked about this before, but not dedicated an entire session to the topic. I started my first venture in 1999, and from there it evolved into a six-figure practice for a few years later. I was doing all right until, actually, that 2003 is where I see my spiritual journey began. And of course, you're on this journey since you're conceived, right? But this is where I became conscious of it. And it was during a divorce. I was married for a few years in my early 30s. Nice guy, but the wrong guy. And came to a point where I was being pulled towards something that I didn't understand and away from what was familiar to me. What was familiar to me suddenly felt uncomfortable. It suddenly felt like it didn't fit. What I thought I wanted now had totally changed. And the first experience I had with connection to Source was actually a friend of mine said, listen, I know you may not know what this is, but I have a friend who's a channeler. And I said, well, what is that? And she explained, well, connects with Source and can help get some answers for you, or convey, you know, get questions answered, convey the underneath icky stuff that's going on. Why is this happening? And what you can do to help it. And I was really skeptical, but I said anything would help me right now. So let's do it. Set up a session. And he helped me through a rough time with my divorce. And he's so lasered in on my issues and my life that I realized that I wanted to learn so much more about this connection. How can I have this connection too? How can I directly communicate with God, with Spirit, and use this to help navigate these rocky waters. And that's where I really became entranced with finding out the truth and immersing my soul and learning all I could about this journey and where I was being taken. And then I noticed something as well, that every time I took a leap in my business, in my life, and that something was shifting or improving or elevating, hell would break loose in other areas of my life. It could be health. It could be a relationship. It could be an opportunity that I thought I wanted and then suddenly disappeared. But in the end, when you look back and you trace it all, it led to more amazing opportunities and beautiful things happening. But it really freaks you out at first. So I started wanting to find out why this was happening. And the good news is, wherever you're at, I hope this will help you learn, you know, not only what's happening for you now, but what the next phase is for you. So manifesting, up-leveling, the combustion, all this stuff happening, what to expect and how to handle it. And because I'm asked often about my upbringing and spirituality, I'll share with you, I was raised as a Christian. I was raised in the Methodist Church. And I think we went to church till I was about 8 or 9. And then I went back briefly when I was 12 because there was a cute guy in the youth group. This guy, Chris, I remember. I'm like, I'll go. Awesome. But the great thing I remember about my church is there was a banner that said, God is love. And I remember feeling really comfortable there versus when I had a Catholic friend and took me to church. She just scared me to death. Like, all the statues and the, it's all suffering and guilt. Oh, my gosh. So I feel very lucky that I was raised in like this happy church and you know, that my family wanted to expose me to. We weren't really religious, I would say, but, you know, they thought it was a good idea to expose me to that. And we went on Sundays and it was a good environment. And as I grew older and made friends with people from all different faiths, I got more curious. And I realized that no one religion, as I say, has a monopoly on the truth. And we are more or less pointing to a goodness and a higher power and giving us faith, hope, love, and direction in life. And then when I, probably since about 2004, when I started learning more about New Thought and laws of attraction and teachings involving universal energy, it just made sense to me. We were all talking about the same things, but using different words, different symbols, and all the dogma. And everyone's entitled to their beliefs, but I wanted to share that with you so you know where I'm coming from. And part of the phase one understanding and believing is understanding that we are all energy. And I know many of you in this room, I mean, some of you are experts on this and helping people through these transitions, but I think it's good to revisit how this is all connected. So our consciousness is an individualized energy field. That's what we are. And we're a force field of concentrated spiritual energy. And if someone is not enjoying an abundant life in all aspects, it simply means your vibrations within this energy field are out of tune. And when they're raised to the right frequency, consciousness becomes harmonically balanced, and wholeness and well-being are realized in a person's life. And I've heard this compared to everything from the keys on a piano to the strings on a harp. When the right note is hit, everything's in vibration. And when the right string, for example, on a harp, if you hit a certain string corresponding to a particular principle of what you want in your physical world, the visible forms and experiences are then created. This is what we call manifesting. And some of you may call the power involved in this spirit, God, Christ, universal energy, source, Allah. Am I forgetting any? Goddess? Divine? What else? What other words do we use? Anything else? Okay, I think I covered them all. All right. Now, I may use some of these interchangeably. And while we may not agree what this can be called, let's agree that we're nothing without it. This is the energy where we come from. And not only did it create us, but it creates through us. And manifesting, up-leveling, it's all about creation and growth. So when we're manifesting, what's happening is we bring down an idea and make it so solid in our mind. And many of you have heard that your subconscious cannot actually determine what's real. And the real, more real it is, we make it in our mind. The clearer that vision and imagery, the more quickly something is manifested. When it's infused with emotion, with love, with all the details of you feeling it so strongly that it can be manifested into your life. The key to doing that is seeing it in the present reality. And that has been what is so hard for me because especially, I think women too, we have what I call the mice in the head. The mice are always running and they're always in the past or the future. We're beating ourselves up for what's in the past and we're worried about the future all the time. When Melanie was up here this morning, did you feel the present moment? That's how we really should be all the time. I know it's kind of impossible, right, with a normal life, but that's really where the feeling needs to be. And that's where you need to put yourself when you do want to manifest something in your life. So with the understanding that's what's seen in the mind's eye is a now experience, the invisible takes shape as the form or situation or thing or experience that's desired. And in effect, what's happening is your spiritual mind is saying, I see it done, so it is done. And this declaration of consciousness has signaled the action of God to come down and take over the project. So I invite you to now think of God as your project manager. It's kind of helpful, huh? That would be good. All right, and you don't have to pay them either, right? It's Spirit's gift to you, right? So at this point, here's the trick, too. We're going to talk about letting go and surrendering, which is the hard part. You set the intention and then surrendering. Because so many, we think we know exactly what this is going to look like. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do, and then have these five steps, and I'm going to be on this TV show, and then this is how it's going to happen. And then suddenly you realize you're actually not in control, that you can set your intention, you set that end result. But you're going to be taken probably on a much more beautiful journey than you realized. And when it comes to success, one of the best quotes I ever heard from Jim Rohn is, you don't become a millionaire for the $1 million. You become a millionaire for the person you become in the process. When you think about achieving, it's not the accumulation of stuff or the money or any of that. It's really who you become. And I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that. That you know you can get through anything now because you've been through it all. And you know that you will always be taken care of. The next opportunity will come. The next, if this doesn't work out, something else is right around the corner. I mean, the fact that you're all here in this room with me, you've always gotten what you've needed when you need it, right? You're okay. We have a roof over our head. We have food to eat. And there's not this straight line to success. So be open to the journey that is a partnership. It's not just you. You are co-creating, but you're not always in control of the how, and that pisses us off sometimes because we think we know exactly what it's going to look like. A few notes before we move on. You will never get there, so enjoy your journey. Once you consciously observe from your perspective on how each new achievement leads to another new desire, you're going to begin to understand you're part of this universe. You are here to create and grow and expand. If we were born having a goal and reaching it and then stopping, we would never progress. We would never grow. We would never emotionally grow, physically grow. The world would not be the same. So you have to embrace this, and you'll come to understand you can never get it all done because you will never cease your awareness out of the contrast out of which is born a new idea or desire. This means whenever you come to a new idea or desire or a goal and then you reach it, another new desire is born because now you're in a different place. If I'm here and I see a goal there and I'm going for it and I'm over here, what do I suddenly have? A new perspective completely. And then maybe this was great and I reached it and now I see, okay, now I'm going to go over here. You see, this isn't a straight line either. For the recording, I'll know I'm walking all over the room and bumping into people like Sue, like boom, okay? And then, oh, check it out. I'm going to go here now, all right? You can't get rid of that. Every place will bring you to a new perspective, and that's part of the journey. And don't worry by your wanting something that it'll take it from another because that view comes from lack. And the best explanation I heard of this is that there's not one pie we're all taking pieces of, that as we create and grow and shift, the pie gets bigger for all of us. It does. That's counterintuitive to the masculine business model. That is counterintuitive to the competition and the single-mindedness of what success is. Also, I think women as business owners right now are creating a new definition of success. When you look at the traditional business models, were created by men. Men created business. They were out doing the business stuff and building things and creating things, and now we're part of it. And do you feel us all shifting? Our different definition of success is much different. And you see that now with women starting businesses based around their gifts, around the lifestyle they want. It's not about accumulating and dominating. And even like you still see in a lot of the guy marketers, you read their sales letters, like conquer, kill your enemy. You know, there's another one like stealing candy from a baby. We're like, that's terrible. You know, we would never write that, right, in our coffee. It's just not... You know what I mean, right? You read that stuff, you're just like, oh, man, guys, come on. Please evolve, please. Same stuff. So phase two is to connect. And you've done that this morning. Melanie helped us in a beautiful way. Connect with your source. Connect with your source, which you can't do when you're running 100 miles an hour. And it was good to see even Melanie, who was always like, ah. This morning she's like, she ran in. I'm like, can you get us grounded? She's like, I just ironed my hair, like, and skipped breakfast, and now you're drinking some green thing. Okay, so it's good to see that you get a little off too. All right. It's kind of a relief for all of us. Because this is live. And I know for me, okay, I tried meditating. Can't do it. All right. Can't do it. All right. Can't do it. I've tried, and like I've got one eye on my iPhone, or I'm checking the email, or the mind spins. I know for me, I have to be in what I call joyful movement. I have to be walking, or I'm really excited. This past weekend, I bought a stand-up paddle board, and I've done that in Hawaii, and I've done it in the British Virgin Islands, but it's a little different here because there's more of a surf, so I'm getting some lessons. Yeah, you got to get out through the waves or duck dive under them. And I got the wetsuit and the whole thing. And what's funny is I bought it, and then they're like, well, how are you going to get it home? And I'm like, I need to get a car rack. So now I had to go get a rack. And finally, it's all coming together. I'll finally get it home by this weekend. But I recognized when I was out doing that in Hawaii, if you don't know what it is, you're standing on, it's like a giant surfboard. They're 10 or 12 feet long, and they're pretty wide. So you can stand really comfortably and not worry about tipping. And you have a paddle. And I did it the first time in Hawaii, and I felt just this peace that I'd never felt before, because you're out in the water and you don't realize too, when you're out in the water, you don't hear anything going on the shore. It's like you're alone. And in Hawaii, this little sea turtle came up and looked at me and went back down. And I started talking to some more of the paddlers out here, and they said, every time you're out here, dolphins will come up and play with you. And I said, I got to get aboard. I got to do this. So that's my meditation. And a little bit later, I want you all to share with me as well if you have some things that are meditative to you versus I consider you to look at what is meditative for you instead of meditation. Rollerblading actually used to be meditative for me. I know that may sound funny, but it was rhythmic, and I could put on beautiful music. And if it's something you're good at and you don't have to think about, it truly does become meditative. So there's probably something in your life that's like that. Maybe it's dance or walking or some type of sport. But when you are in that meditative state, that's when you really open your heart and your mind to spiritual nature. It's tuning into that God power within you. And what I really love about this, just how this all works, and it's still hard to find the words to describe it, but let's talk about manifesting again for a second, that in order for us to be, for us to exist, the universe had to conceive of us and this focus on us, and we were pressed out. We're from that consciousness. You realize it's all connected, right? It's all this energy, and we're all together, and we are God, and God is us, and it's all one. So what I love is that God had this idea of us and pressed us out, and here we are doing the same thing in our lives. Okay? So it's the same thing. It's the same flow happening. So as God contemplated himself as you, a state of consciousness was expressed or pressed out, and an individualized energy field appeared. Now remember, follow me here because this is interesting. Remember that consciousness here means awareness, understanding, and knowledge. And the original state of consciousness that we had when we came from nothing was like a super consciousness. So it was like a super awareness or super understanding of God. When you are super aware of something, it literally becomes your consciousness. It becomes who you are. The thinker and the thought become one. So in the truth, the reality of you is God knowing himself as God, God knowing himself as you, and you knowing yourself as God. It's all one. And when you tap into this feeling, I want you to try to do this, you know, the next time you're doing something meditative, and just feel that connection, that there is no separation. And this is the gift that we have and what we use to create with. We'll do some of these meditative things right now, actually. Actually, I'd like to get a microphone out to the audience for this one. And let's look at, I'm going to write down my meditative exercise. It's called souping, S-U-P, stand-up paddle. Or walking on the beach is meditative for me as well. Anybody else? Who has a meditative activity that they share? Gail, I'll get the mic to you. We'll make sure it's on the recording. Thanks.
I found that for me, I walk in the neighborhood. We have a beautiful neighborhood. I walk in the neighborhood and there's a park. And at the end of my walk, I sit in the park and there's all the Florida birds and there's turtles and I just connect with nature.
Thank you. Right here, Paula.
I have two things. I'm a weaver, so weaving, the rhythmic motion of the loom back and forth.
And I'm sure when you get really good, you just don't think about it, right?
Yeah, you're not thinking about it. It's very repetitive, so things are always popping up for me, story ideas.
I love it.
And then I do trance drumming for conscious dream work, and that always puts me into it.
Really?
Yeah.
Paula, that's cool. Trance drumming. I love that. Thank you. Anybody else? Let's go. Oh, wait. God, these two tables have a lot of ideas. All right, we'll go to the back.
I have a ritual bubble bath that I take every night before I go to bed, and I find that to be very meditative, and I get some great thoughts.
I love baths, and they're so... Not many people do the bath thing anymore. Who does bath at night? I do almost every night. Oh, my gosh, great. I love that. It's kind of a waste of water, right? But it's really, really good. So baths. And I assume you lock the door and keep everyone out so the kids can't bother you. Perfect. Just pass it around the table there, Amy, whoever's back there.
Hiking. I live in Colorado. And getting outside and being where you are around these huge mountains makes you feel so safe, I guess. And also, my problems are so small when I'm there. So it's just like I open up, I receive. It's really my church. That's what I call it.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
I do a lot of the things that you guys have already mentioned, but something just came to me. I just got back from Cancun, and I was on this really amazing beach that was quiet, and I saw all these little shells, and this isn't something I could do every day, but I ended up floating in the water for an hour and a half, and I just kept picking up these little shells, and I had a little cup, and I collected them, and my husband was like, you're going to get sunburned, it comes out, and I felt so at peace just picking up these beautiful little shells in the ocean.
And just floating around in the water.
Yeah, I felt like I was a little kid, and it was beautiful. I
loved it. You just identified something else, too. It's putting yourself in kind of that childlike state. Right?
Yeah.
Where we had no worries. Like, you had nothing to worry about back then except, like, what was for lunch and, you know, and if you were safe.
That's
and
truly,
So I love that. Ocean, shells, and...
Hi. I just recently started a Pilates reformer class, and I just find it's done on a machine where the movements are very slow and rhythmic, and I just find because especially I'm just starting... I'm working so much and concentrating so hard on my form and doing it properly so that I don't get hurt and get the most benefit, that it's really freeing for my mind. It just doesn't allow
me. Are you by yourself or is someone with you?
No, it's a class of four.
Oh, it's a class.
And then there's an instructor who's, you know, helping you through it. And I just find the whole process, you know, I know that I'm doing something good for my body, and it also just frees my mind at the same
time. That's a kind of another, I don't know if you call it meditative, but it takes your mind off of everything else, right?
Yes.
It's something else to focus on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, it's actually not exercise so much. It's when I write. So first I write out all the noise that's going on inside of my head, and then as I write, it starts to flow into a more meditative, truthful, source-driven space.
You ever done Q&A with God? Anyone? Like, this is all you do. Let me show you. I literally started doing this, like, in 2004 when I was freaking out and not sure what was happening, but I did... I think I read Conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh, right? And I said, well, why can't I do that? So I did Q&A and wrote the question and just listen. See what comes up. It really works. You'll get some things that you didn't... You think at first you're making it up, right? Or that this is in your brain, and then you realize later there are ideas that just flow. And so I've done that sometimes, like, you know, why is this happening? What is the next path for me? And you'll get somewhat of an answer.
So I spend so much time volunteering, and I spend so much time with my family, and I spend so much time online that I just don't ever have any of that alone time. So I go furniture shopping.
Oh, Kieran. No, we're going to put that in the corner.
Because nobody likes to go with me, so it's just, I get to just look, and I see beautiful things, and I love being surrounded by beauty, and it doesn't have to be in my home all the time, but I just...
You're one of a kind. Next. We need to get you out in nature, Karen. Rosemary.
For me, it's playing the piano or music, mm-hmm. or harmonium, singing, kirtan chants or something, but music takes me to that place when I'm not doing meditation.
Yeah, wonderful. I didn't know you play piano. Wonderful.
That's why I have to find a place I can fit my baby grand in.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Back and then, go to the back first, then we'll end up here.
We have a Zen rock garden at home, which is a fancy name for a big pile of rocks. And we stack rocks.
So, like, how does that work? What do you mean?
You just pile a rock on top of a rock on top of rock and make a little pile of rocks.
Is that what people do when you see those tall piles of rocks?
And
because it's meditative?
Yeah, my husband will be out there for hours stacking 12-foot high rocks.
Wow.
And they'll all fall over and they'll just go and stack them again. I'm just a few rocks, but the process is the same.
Wow.
You just listen to the rocks, and they'll tell you how to stack them.
Wow. I've seen those. I'm so glad I know what that is now, because I've seen, and sometimes even, I was on the ocean here in Venice at some point. Do you remember, like, in Venice, at some point, there was someone doing these, like, in the middle of the night, and they would appear in the morning, these, like, tall, beautiful rock stacks, and people didn't know what they were, but I bet that's what it was. Someone was doing that in the middle of the night, just... stacking rocks.
For me, being in nature, but especially at the ocean, there's something about the rhythm of the ocean that just puts mm-hmm. me in that state. And then the other thing is also a water thing, swimming. Just swimming laps to me gets meditative, just the rhythm of it.
And the silence of it, right?
Yeah, and the silence of it.
Yeah. It's, we barely have time to be, that there's any silence in our lives anymore. I mean, really. I've gotten... when I got divorced, I didn't have a TV for a while, and I was, you know, kept saying, well, I have to get one, and I realized I didn't want one. I didn't have a TV for about 3 years. And there's some great shows on. In fact, I knew I probably missed some really good TV. But I love that time at night to, like, wind down. I know it's harder, especially for those of you with kids and families, because you're like, that's not going to happen. But you have to, even like Joy's got the bubble bath, right? Even just like 20 minutes to just not think and clear your mind. New environments can put you in a meditative state. Like we talked about traveling or just being somewhere different. And that's where often you'll connect and download. That happened even when I was in Miami in March and just on the beach. And what's I'll tell you about, you guys know that I was I went back to meet with Richard Branson for that New Frontiers in Philanthropy meeting, which was just a few weeks ago in May. And that came about because literally I was in Miami walking on the beach. I'd just seen you guys, or maybe it was the March trip when I saw you guys in Miami. And I'm walking on the beach, and I literally was like, okay, just God, just give me, throw me a bone. Show me what's next. I need a clue here, which you can ask that anytime. Just show me something. Show me what's next, or show me, give me a step on the bridge. I'm ready. And literally 3 days later, I got an email saying, there's this group meeting on Necker Island. It's called New Frontiers in Philanthropy. There are these amazing people coming, and we have a few spots left. You know, we thought of you. Do you want to join us? I was, perfect. I don't think that would have happened without myself giving myself permission to take that trip, to have that time to just think. You know, that these things never happen when you're at your desk. You notice that? They do not happen when you're at your laptop or on your desk. You got to put yourself in a different environment. So try just one new thing when you go home. Maybe even if it's just hiking once a week, or for Karen, maybe it's instead of furniture shopping, you can go shoe shopping. That's how I talk with God. Even little things to shake up your routine, like this sounds funny, but driving a different way home when you pick your kids up or something like that, that will just start shifting your awareness into a different place. And be careful of what you let in, because there is so much technology now. There is just, we're bombarded everywhere. I was in a doctor's office the other day and they had the TV on. And I'm like, come on, people are here who aren't feeling well. You have CNN blasting in my face with bombings going on around the world. I'm like, please, please don't do this. It's so technical that we have immediate the reason we're all so stressed now, too, with all this information, is that we have immediate access to what's going on all over the world. It never stops. So if there is a bombing, and even just, let's say, three people die, as horrible as that is, okay, but just three people dying around the world, it's all over the news. It's saturating everything. It gets us all to think, and they do a three-hour show on, like, analyzing it and how it could happen in our country, and that you can't go there. You just can't go there. So you have to make sure you have these boundaries with media, with TV, with your computer. And I'm not saying I've won the war here. I mean, I sleep next to my iPhone. I wake up, and I do check the email like this, like to see like if I need to get up or not, like if I can sleep a little longer to see what my team needs. But I'm really strict with television, and I'm really strict with news, and I'm very careful. Like I'll glance at the headlines maybe once every 2 days because you want to be aware of what's going on, but don't let yourself be force-fed by television news shows. And when you think about it, we're often giving more ear time to the media than we are to God. And that doesn't make sense to me. I think God should get more ear time. You should be listening and connecting with Source more than you are with media. Hard to do, but have to try to do it. Phase three. So when you're connected, all right, so for me that first journey, part of the journey was getting connected. I became aware. And I started learning how to get connected. I just started tuning in. I started just asking questions and journaling and just starting to develop this two-way relationship here. How does this partnership work? Phase three, this is the fun part, I think. But not so fun part's phase five. Okay. I call this choose or flow. Choose or flow. I didn't understand flow until... Well, it was going on, but I didn't understand until recently. You are a partner in the process, and without asking, you will receive no answer. So we talked about most people just letting life happen to them, and they don't get near what they want. And it's funny because I was thinking that's probably where the saying shit happens comes from, because that'll happen if you don't choose what you want. That'll happen if you don't actually deliberately create your life. But there's this other thing called flow, which I think some people are naturally good at, but I know for me, I had to get good at manifesting first before I could trust and allow flow. So let's talk about the choosing first. This is where you have to get really clear for what you want, and I think that feels uncomfortable sometimes. Because I know for me, I kept thinking, doesn't God have better things to do? Like, shouldn't God be helping people who are starving and babies and war, and instead of manifesting me a tall boyfriend? You know, like, you think about these things, right? You're like, well, isn't there only so much of God to go around? And it feels selfish. It felt selfish to me to place my order with Spirit. But it really does take two. And this is part of your gifts and using your gifts. So all the good that God has for us has already been given to the reality within us, our higher self. And this is the beautiful thing, is that it's all there. It's all there for us to claim. So in truth, we have everything right now, but we have to claim it. And how it works is we choose the spiritual equivalent for that which we desire in the physical world. And when we choose it, that starts turning the gears for the manifestation phase. Now, a lot of us say we choose it or we make a decision, but what happens? We're not really making the decision, right? We say we want something. We say we're hoping for it. We're wishing for it. That's when we get into action, which I'll talk about too. But I encourage you to make a list. Make your list and check it twice for everything you want for the next phase in your life. And if you're not sure, then just have an idea. And I always like writing after my list, or something better, or someone better, or whatever it is. But start writing it down. And actually, goal setting and what they've taught for goal setting in years, even in, like, you go back to the left-brained type of personal development training, like the Tony Robbins and Brian Tracy and all those guys, right? I love the old school guys. They're great. But it's all about what? It's the brain. It's all brain work. They never get into this stuff. But they show, writing down your goals, people are like 10 times more likely to reach them if they write them down. So it does make a big difference. What I like about the process and what I hate about the process at the same time is when you sit down to actually write about what you want, you're taking a close look at your life and you're revealing some of the imperfections and the soft spots and the empty places. But that is how you move forward. And the process of choosing what you really want in your heart of hearts and knowing you have the power right now to bring this forth, you are building the new model of reality of how you're going to live. Because actually, everything we're doing now, it's not something you do just once. This is the process you learn to embrace over and over and over. But ladies, this is the relationship where you make the first move. So you have to open up, connect, and ask. I love the word decide, because the Latin root of decide actually means to cut off, that you're cutting off any other possibilities and you're claiming that this is what I want. So let's see here. To make a decision is to cut off all other possibilities. And at that moment, all the things you need will begin to show up to manifest your goal. Now, we'll get to the how in a minute. But the great thing is you don't need to actually concern yourself with the how. You don't need to know the details of the how. And this is what freaks us all out, because we're all about the how. We're about the details. We're about having everything mapped up and seeing what could go wrong and being scared about it. The how exists right now, but you just aren't seeing it. And often it's right underneath our nose or in front of us. And I'm sure if you have stories, if things I'm sharing are bringing up examples for you, please write them down, because I'd like you to share them when I'm done here. Everything I have done, I will share with you. I've never had everything lined up. I've never had all my ducks in a row. I've never known exactly how I'm going to do anything. And I think that surprises people. And when I share that with people also outside of our world and kind of our thought, it really freaks them out. Like, well, how could you go do that? See, it's already another how question. How could you do that? But we'll get to that in a minute. That's the surrender part. Then there's this other side of this called flow. And I'll share with you that this is actually the first year I have no goals. I have no goals. I have let go of my goals. And instead, I'm really tapping into this place of saying, okay, show me, God, what is next? Show me what I'm really supposed to be doing. Work through me. I invite you to work through me and just do work through me. And this is what I literally pray. I say, God, thank you for blessing me with all my amazing gifts. I open myself to you and ask that you work through me, for I know that my highest good will be also for the highest good and part of your plan for me. And this is where we move into surrender, which is phase before. But it's, you still have to surrender, even if you're choosing something, because this is where we admit to ourselves that the... Oh, I'm sorry. Phase four is accept and receive. Phase five is surrender. When we choose something, we have to accept it. And these, some of these are going to kind of overlap with each other. But you heard the saying, conceive, believe, and achieve. All right, so this is the believe part. You have to truly believe that whatever you choose is going to happen. Because when you expect something, it's on the way. When you believe something, it's on the way. And when you fear something, it's on the way. So if you're not expecting it, you're not allowing it. And this is where you have to see it as the present. You have to feel immense, immense gratitude for what you already have. Remember, what you want is already here right now. You have to feel as much emotion as you can around it, describing it in immense detail. Some of you probably like to write down your goals. Some of you may have goal cards. Some of you may do visualization exercises. And actually, I'd love to hear from a few people like what you do for that phase. When you have a goal and you want to make sure that you feel it and put it into action, does anyone have a little routine or ceremony that they do? Or cards? Or let's go to Gail. We'll get the mic to you.
Well, what I've been doing for this, and this really has to do like with the real estate, I think that's the best example. I close my eyes and picture myself walking through the house. I see my belongings, our belongings in the house. And by seeing those things as if I am already there, with the dogs and the whole thing.
Yeah, all the detail.
All the details. I can smell it. I bring it to my senses, like mm-hmm. I can smell it. I can, you know, feel the tile under my feet and all of those things. And when I don't always do that, but when I do, things happen. And that creates the emotion around I'm really there and I'm excited and this is cool and I'm going out to get firewood or whatever the case may be. But that brings it to life in my brain.
And do you do it on a certain schedule or just whenever you're relaxed you try to visualize?
I sometimes I do that when I'm on my walks, and at the end of my walk when I sit in the park, I'll journal it as if I'm tasting it, feeling it, and creating those emotions. And it I have to practice it because it's not really natural sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it could even, the real estate is one example, but when I bought my new car, I did the same kind of thing. And even little things I can do that with when I'm alone and with nature and journaling.
Yeah.
So I put it together, and then certain things start to go into motion.
Great.
Like we have the offer on the house, for example. So, you know, that's what we do. That's what I do.
And great.
It's very therapeutic as well.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Jessica.
I was taught a future self exercise about 10 years ago, and it was a visualization where I'm supposed to go and see my future self and what she looks like and what she's wearing and where she's living, and I come to the door and I ask her the questions about where I am right now and, you know, what her advice to me is being where she is. And I've done that many times in my life, and I have a very clear picture of her, and I was actually asked recently to do it again by somebody else who was speaking. And when I walked in the door, she started looking so much like what I look like now. It was like I remember the first time seeing her 10 years ago, and now seeing her, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm
you did
almost
see it
there. Like, I'm like a year or two away from you. I'm like that age now. And it's amazing because she's so confident, and she's kindly laughs at me because she just knows where I'm about to be. And it's so reassuring every time I come out of that. And I've been getting in touch with her more lately just because I know I'm getting closer to where she is. And, again, it's not about the how I'm going to get there. It's just the reassurance that she gives
There's
me.
There's a certainty.
Yes.
There. Yeah.
Because I'm starting to look so much like her. That certainty.
Hope she looks good.
She does.
Good. Yeah. So that's part of the accepting and receiving. Like you see it and you believe it and you just, it's a knowing.
Yeah,
it's
and
a knowing.
She does give me advice sometimes, which is really good, and I take it.
You know, that's not a bad thing to do. Q&A with your future self.
Yeah.
Try that. Yeah, that's another way to try it. Great. Anybody else?
I actually keep a little booklet of pretty index cards next to my bed and my night table. And for me, a lot of this stuff either happens, I get these downloads in the middle of the night and I kind of wake up, or it's first thing in the morning, I have like this magic time. And I've gotten to a place where I can sort of stay in a lucid state and sort of, I wake up with these epiphanies and I can sort of go back under and work with it a little bit. And then, so I'll try to do that if I feel like I've got something really good and work with it a bit and then sort of get somewhat awake and jot it down and and just try to capture as much of it as I can, because once I'm awake, I lose it.
And you do it on index cards, so one for each idea.
And then I try to crystallize it and hang on to that, and I work with it after that, and it works really well.
Awesome. I used to have, we'll get to a few more people, but I used to, and I'm probably going to start doing it again. But when I do get clear on something I want to happen, I had to use an index card, and I do keep them by my bed, and get some colorful ones or nice ones, and I do. I am so happy and grateful. This one's been taught by many different people, and it feels good. I'm so happy and grateful that, and just remember, focus on the end result, not the how, right? So, for example, if the new home, right? You didn't visualize you negotiating with the bankers, right? No. You visualize you enjoying the home, right? Like cooking and the dogs, like just all the details and the yummy stuff about it. Not like pulling your hair out with all the paperwork and right. So just make sure that you're focusing on the end result there. Right there.
Hi. I do something called a vision of love, because I'm a love attraction heartbreak recovery specialist. And what I do with my clients that works really well is first they do the questioning. Let's establish a place of unconditional love with prayer. We chant. Maybe we'll do a little yoga. And just to kind of really get present and get really steeped in that quality of divine love. And then when we sit down, I take them through the question and answer process, similar mm-hmm. to what you're talking about. What is, you know, what is the highest potential of divine love in my life? And I ask a lot of questions like that. What questions, not how questions, because how brings up fear. And then I take them, the next part of it would be, okay, you may not see the answer, you may not hear the answer, but you've opened up for that channel to reveal that to you. So then later in the day, what we do is we write a living vision. And I say, as if it's happening right now, I want you to describe yourself in that relationship, in mm-hmm. that divine relationship that your heart desires, and go into great detail using ing words. Like, I'm living with this wonderful man right now. He's the love of my life. He's kissing me and holding me. We're walking around, you know, every facet. And then they write it down. They read it every night before they go to bed. And so that's a very effective way.
Yeah, and it's in the present.
It's
very important.
All in the present tense, and to get yourself in a high state of gratitude before you do it. And it's just, you go to sleep, and it continues. Like, you know, what we do with work, we can do the same process with
exactly,
work.
With everything. With yeah, everything. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Allie.
Great. I just want to do a time check to make sure. We'll have a little more sharing in a little bit. I just want to make sure I get through these sections. So many of you in here do this already, but the visualizing, you know, it's good. This is stuff we need to revisit. And if you haven't visualized in a while, try to pick one thing to start visualizing. And you know what I do, actually? I haven't shared this with anybody. But sometimes when I'm working out, I love music and I love my iPod. And I have probably over 6,000 songs in my iTunes. I love music. And especially if I'm working out, I need good music. I don't know, JJ, if you need good music when you work out. I do. Do you? No. You just love working out. Yeah. So, that's, yep. Okay. I need music. So, And do you ever listen to music? You start creating kind of a little music video. Like, I love music, helps me visualize. And so I'll have, like, if I hear a certain song, I'll kind of create my own music video in my head of me on stage or me doing something or going around the world or whatever that next part of the journey is that I want to create. I create music videos. So if you respond to music, that may be something good to try as well. The more detail you can put into the visualization, it's great. And then be careful about the words you speak as well. Remember that you need to think what you want to create. You need to feel what you want to create and then speak it as well. And this is where, you know, sometimes you don't want to share your goals with everybody. There are some people maybe you don't want to necessarily share them with. And you know what I mean, sometimes family members or friends, but the people who you can share them with, I suggest that you share with them, say, listen, this is a goal I want to manifest. I'm going to be speaking about this a lot, and I need your support. I need your support for my ideas and the language that I'm using. And so let them know what you're doing. Okay. Phase 5 is release and surrender. So once your decision is made and you're taking action, you also need to believe and then follow the guidance. And here's the hard part, I find. It's letting go and letting God. You've heard that. Go and let God. Is there a problem with the mic? You got it now? Okay, great. So you've heard the saying, let go and let God. And that is when we're forgetting about the how. And this drives us freaking nuts. Because we think we know what's supposed to happen next. And there's something that is so clearly should happen next. And it's not happening. And we think, well, this isn't working. No, I can't. And you go through this, what I call the spin cycle. Because you go back through these phases again and again. And you say, okay, I want this goal. I'm gonna visualize it. And then something happens the next day that knocks you off. And then you're put back into a place of not believing, and you have to start all over again. And don't worry, because this happens. Who's been there? The spin cycle. Yes. Okay. Because something happens that just, like, whack, and then you're thinking, gosh, is this really going to happen? Or, you know, I just don't know, and maybe I should just. Those are the moments where you want to quit. Those are the moments where, you know, all the seeds have been planted, and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting for them to come up. And the problem is you can't see where they are. You can't see how far they've grown. And so it's like it's under the ground, and they're so close, and this is where you just have to keep at it. And this is the hardest part of the entire process, this spin cycle. And also accepting that the timing of the universe may not match exactly what you had in mind, may not match exactly. But be open to a plan that's bigger or better than what you could conceive. And how do you know that you're in surrender? By your lack of concern, your lack of anxiety and outside pressure in your conscious. That's hard to maintain. But having that, making sure that you're in a place that you're not anxious, you're not concerned, you're calm, and you believe. And your negative energy is replaced by positive vibrations of peace and joy and confidence. And that's what we call living in the state of grace. And so I alternate between grace and stress. Maybe there could be a word that comes for both. Strace or grace or one of those types of words. Because you can't always be in a state of grace. I mean, it's those of us who are complete, you know, the evolved people of our population, the Gandhis and the Christs and people who have done that. I mean, they just lived in grace. It was amazing. And that's what we all strive to be. But just take a note every day of if you are in that state of grace or not. And typically phase 5, this is where I see, and I'd like some discussion around this after we complete the phases, this is where I see stuff start to come up, because that's when you're tested. Oh, that's when you're tested. When you are surrendered, you make the claim and you start moving toward it, and stuff starts happening that you may not even consider or be aware of it being related to your up-leveling, but it happens. Phase 6 is action. Take action and trust in faith. Take action and trust in faith. You can't course correct if you're just sitting there. You can't move. Nothing's going to happen if you're just like this. So it's attraction plus action. And this is also where we get scared, because we don't want to make a move until we it's like we want this guarantee or assurance or a promise dropped from the sky saying this is going to happen so you can take these steps toward this goal. But what you have to do is just do the next step to the best of your ability, whatever that next step is that you see. With whatever you have from where you are, just make that move. And then always listen to that inner feeling for guidance. And remember that God's going to meet you at the level you're at. Don't worry, that step will appear. And if you don't think you know what it is, just make a move in some direction. So, you know, if you're at your wit's end, and you know, I've had people write me, we do the Ask Allie column in the e-zine, and some people, I just don't want to answer publicly because it's kind of, their questions are just like, whoa. But this one woman wrote, and she was just saying, you know, when I did Secret Millionaire, we heard from all kinds of people, right? So people in some very, very sad situations. And this woman was writing saying, well, you know, I want to start a business, but I'm on welfare and I have 5 kids and I live in a trailer. I mean, it was just this long list. And I'm thinking, my advice to you is to go get a job. I mean, that's the next best step right now in your direction. Don't be trying to start an info marketing business from home, right? But take, even if her dream is to start a business and she thinks she really wants to and she wants to claim that goal, but she needs to make a move from the best of her ability without waiting for all the pieces, right? That's an extreme example, but it's how many of us think. We don't want to make a move toward anything until we think we know exactly what's going to happen. And I find once you're in motion, even if you think the goal's over there and you don't see the straight line, but you see something over here, well, maybe stepping over here suddenly you see something over here, and then it leads you over here, and then you're eventually weaving your way toward the goal. And this is the test, because, my gosh, you have to really believe during this phase, because you're putting your money where your mouth is. You're actually stepping out. And another thing you've seen me do, if you've seen me at Shine or at were you at the Blueprint Workshop, where if you do see the goal, you're on the edge of this cliff, and you see where you're going, but you don't see the bridge. You literally just don't see the steps. And this is where your faith starts happening. You have to start generating the faith. And you step out, and it was like in the Indiana Jones movie, the second one, where he's stepping over the cliff, and there's no bridge. And he steps out, and suddenly he realizes it's there. And then another step. And then pretty soon you stop looking down. And this is when you're in grace. That's when you're feeling like, you know, it's happening. It's all grooving together. But it's those steps that are rocky. And the first few times you do this will be incredibly rocky. And it's still a journey for me every time. Whether it's something physical I'm manifesting or an opportunity or right now when I'm in flow and I'm asking for what the next step is. And right now I'm only being shown like the first few steps. And I'm still not sure if they're certain or not, but I'm just taking them. I'm moving in that new direction. When I decided to buy the house that I'm living in now, that was quite a stretch for me. And I knew that no banker looking at my numbers would have said, this makes sense for you to buy. Who has ever told you that in your life at any time anyway, right? And Susie Orman would have died, right? She tells everybody, don't buy the shoes, don't buy the bag. And I'm like, you know what, I want the house and I want the shoes and I want it all, okay? So when I put an offer, though, when I made my move into action on that house, yeah, I could have sat there and said, well, I really want this house and I'm going to figure out how to do this. And I toured the house. I fell in love with it. I cried and said, this is my house. I literally hugged, the realtor turned around, I hugged the house. I mean, I said, this is the next step in my journey in me expanding. And put an offer in on it, and it was accepted. And that's where you're thinking, oh, shit, right? You can't go back from there. And the sellers wanted I was trying to do a 60-day escrow. They wanted a 30. So I had some money for the down payment, but I didn't want to drain everything that I had put away because this was a big down payment for me to get the loan that I wanted. And I remember people saying, you sure you want to do this? Even my realtor was like, you sure you want to do this? Everyone around me is like, you sure you want to do this? And I said, I've never been so sure of anything in my life. I'm going to do this. Miraculously, a chunk of money appeared, and I don't give details on this, not because it's something secret or illegal or anything, but because it's not about the details. It's about that it happened. And a chunk of money came to me that I was not expecting. And I know that I was being rewarded for my faith. And that house for me represented the growth that I needed in my business and for me at that time. What's interesting is now I'm craving to downsize. I'm craving, for me, the next part of my journey is simplifying again. But it's all about honoring where you are in the process, right? So when you do see the right opportunity that's aligned with your goal, you want to go for it. I mean, don't wait for things to be convenient or easy. They never will be. It's moving through that step, that fear, that push that usually is getting you over that hump. And remember, the opportunities come from spirit through people. So it's not up to you to decide how it's going to happen. It's going to come in probably in a way that you least expect it. Okay. Now, phase seven is what I call prepare for and accept the shadows. And this is the last phase, and this is where I want to talk about the fear. And you notice we don't have a phase where you, well, we should have a phase. I probably like enjoy what you got, right? Enjoy what you've created. I'm sorry, I'm so focused on like helping you prepare for the crap that comes with it. But phase seven, how did I word it exactly? Prepare for and accept the shadows. Okay, and there's two I want to focus on. The first one is fears, and the second is when things blow up, which I want to make sure that I have this worded right here. I call them explosions and disruptions. It sounds like a bad medical condition. Explosions and disruptions. So when you're working with things on a bigger level, and I'm not talking about manifesting a cup of coffee, you know, for most of us, when we are stepping, the reason this stuff's so heavy for us and not everybody else usually is because when we're starting a business, we're stepping into this place of actually finally being out in the world who we are. So you get why this is heavier for us than most people. This isn't about like manifesting just a new car or a new house or things like that. I mean, that could be part of our journey. But for us, when we are stepping into our power, there's going to be a strong pull on you, especially in the retreat phase. I mean, sorry, the release phase to pull back into your comfort zone. Because courage comes from faith. And to change your results, you often don't just have to change what you're doing. You have to change who you're being. You are literally becoming a new person in this process. And that's the beautiful part of this journey, and that's why I love that Jim Rohn quote, that it's about the person you become. And the person you've been up till now is not the same person that you need to be to make the leap. Leaps require you to grow and change, and that's the uncomfortable part. Because we think we can create these goals and manifest this new life, but we don't need to change ourselves. We don't need to change anything. We want to stay in our comfort zone. If you can't grow further, you can't go further. And here's the kicker. This is the universe or God or, you know, there's a sense of humor there, okay? And here's the sense of humor. It's your biggest fear. It is the thing that makes you so uncomfortable or scared or brings up all your issues. That is what you have to move through to get to that next level of you. You know what I'm talking about. For all of us, it's different. Those of you who work with my friend Beth Davis, the hand analyst, she works you on your life purpose and life lesson, right? Your life lesson is there with you for life, and that's something you're working through your entire life. And when you want to make a leap, it's often that same thing, that big fear or issue that you have to move through. And that is the stuff that no one wants to do. This is where everyone stops. And they don't go farther. I invite you to now, with this raised awareness, realize that this is happening for you. If you're at a place where you're kind of stuck and it's somewhere you don't want to move through. And I like to envision it as a big door. And I can see what's on the other side, and it's kind of transparent, and I can feel it, and I see what's there. But on this door is this combination lock, and that is dealing with all the stuff in here, and here, and here, right? These different chakras, Melanie, right? Sometimes it's speaking your truth or feeling your self-worth or letting go of guilt and grief. And it's a fear that's particular to you and no one else, not me, not your friends, and not your family. This lesson is yours alone. And it's your personal journey of growth. And here's another fun part of it, okay? The opportunity that will arrive typically to get you to the next level is going to be a stretch. It's not an easy one. It's going to require you to make an investment, to take a big leap, to move through that fear. And you're going to be uncomfortable, but you have to be, because you cannot cling to what's comfortable and step into the opportunity at the same time. It's not possible. And you're going to come up with all the reasons in the world why you can't move forward. And then, here's another one you're going to love, okay? Sometimes the opportunity is disguised as misfortune or something going wrong or something dropping out of your life. Or the easiest thing I can compare that to for most women is relationships, because you've all had that breakup that you thought you were going to die. You had that guy who just crushed your heart. And then in the end, ended up being the best thing that ever happened to you, right? Something, it always leads you to a better place. If you're in the middle of that now, I'm sorry, there is someone better coming. You're like, please don't talk about it right now. there's someone in here probably who's like, ah. But that's a great analogy for this, and that it's disguised as this thing going wrong in your life, this thing going terribly wrong, but right around the corner is this beautiful solution. And once you declare you're ready, this is when the stuff starts to happen. And in business, when I'm working with people, especially one-on-one, we're getting to the deeper stuff. It's interesting because I see them say they want X, Y, and Z, and they have these goals and dreams, but they're not willing to do the work it takes to get there. They're not willing to do the uncomfortable bits. For women, many of us is what other people think. There are some common ones that we do share. What other people think, being seen as a failure, the insecurity, especially for moms, putting their families at risk, especially single moms, you see this risk and you want to step into it, but you feel like, well, I can't be irresponsible. I have a family. Okay, these things fight with each other. And these are things you have to work on individually. But I want to encourage you all to remember that the best experiences in your life have always involved risk. When I have people do this exercise and they write down the five most amazing experiences of their life, whether it was giving birth to their first child or being the star in the school play or maybe going for a job they didn't think they could get or starting their first business, it always involved a risk and it was always worth it. You don't look back and remember those days you were sitting on your couch. You remember the days that you took the leap, the times that you took the chance, the times that you had the courage, and you look back and go, I don't know how I did that, but I'm damn proud that I did that. Those are the days you remember, and they all come with risk. Part two is the explosions and disruptions, and I'm so excited to talk about this because I can't find anything that I could relate to that was written about it. And a book that I love about manifesting is Esther and Jerry Hicks' Ask and It Is Given. Many of you have probably read that, okay? And there's this one paragraph in there. So the whole book's about manifesting and up-leveling and all this stuff. And this is the only paragraph I could find that was actually clearly written in anything that I was reading that said, sometimes people say Abraham, who is the entity that they channel, Abraham, is it normal for all hell to break loose in someone's life when they begin this process? And we say yes, because you are bringing yourself to a place of heightened sensitivity so that your formerly achieved patterns of lower vibration are now less comfortable to you. Okay? It means shit's going to happen. Okay? That's what it means. That's what Abraham needs to say. It says be careful. Stuff's going to blow up. And all hell to break loose. Very, very true. Emotions. Okay? Since I started this journey, I'm an emotional wild ride. And there are times, like when I bought that house, I suddenly needed to cocoon. I went through this phase that I actually, all my friends were calling, when are you going to have parties, big house, roof deck, let's go? I wouldn't call them back. I got in my bed and just kind of hid for a few days in my castle, as I call it, and realized something was happening that I needed to just be. I needed to be alone. And I went through a phase of pulling away from a lot of people. And I know I lost some friends because of it. But it's something I just had to do. I just had to do because I felt like I was growing or in this, actually literally in a cocoon, right? You're in that metamorphosis and all the goop's all over you and you're getting through this phase. And then it's like, and I still go through that occasionally. Crying all the time, sometimes just needing to scream or explode or whatever your emotions are, I really want to emphasize you should let them move through you. It's not something you have to do, but just honor them and let them move through you. If you feel sad, wallow in it. Wallow in it. I mean, just go there. Don't fight it. Get in bed. Cancel all your calls. Put on some sad music and just bawl. Hold your cat. You know, I do. Hug your cat and cry. Relationships, especially partners, spouses, lovers, interesting things can happen there. And sometimes it's because your vibration's rising and anything that's not on the level of vibration where you are going is going to have to bubble up to the surface to get dealt with. It's almost like a bubble that has to come up and pop. And I know for me, in my marriage, that was the beginning of me stepping into my power. I'd been at jobs and then started this business, but was really kind of just meekly doing it. And got married in 2001 and moved to California. We're on this great journey together, and I started going to seminars and started meeting people like all of you and people who are doing things and making change in the world. And I would come home from these events and be like, babe, you got to meet these people. This is so exciting. I want to start a coaching company, blah, 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 blah. And I want this extraordinary life, and let's start dreaming. Let's make a dream list, and blah, blah. I could tell him. I remember one night he said to me, what's wrong with the life we have now? He got scared, right? And then you try to bring him along. So you try that. How many you all try that, right? You try. You bring him. Then you start bringing him to stuff, and it's, I know, for him it wasn't the right, not a good fit. And then I hired a coach for us, then a coach for him. And then we went to therapy. And finally I said, you know what? I remember saying, like, I love you, and I promise to love you and cherish you forever, and I always will, and I need to be on my own. And that was one of the hardest discussions I've ever had. And he knew, though, by that time, he kind of knew. He said, I see where you're going. I get it. I get it. And, you know, there's no right way to do these things, and I still sometimes wonder if I should have worked or tried harder, but I just knew what I had to do for me. And in the end, your highest good always releases that person, and then they step into their highest good or deal with their issues or whatever they need to do with their journey, right? But I knew I couldn't combine journeys anymore. It was too much weight. It was like a big anchor. If I had not stepped into who I really needed to be, that maybe that would have happened. I always wondered, what if I never started a business? You know, you wonder, like, where your life would have gone differently. I don't know, but I wouldn't change a thing now. Wouldn't change a thing. Family, friendships, colleagues, even your team. When you start stepping into a new place, your team, you may even on the surface, and this isn't even energetic, it's just like by you wanting to take charge of your business, if you have team members or employees and they see the shift start happening and you're taking charge now and you're going a different direction, you may get some resistance or they're not on board. But every time I've heard this happening when I'm working with clients, they say, oh, I was so upset that, you know, Jenny quit. But then we've got this great new guy who's like totally knows what to do with this new part of the company, and it all works out in the end, always. Opportunities that were right in front of you that you thought were the next answer may disappear, but it's because of better opportunities around the corner, right? Finances, very interesting. Stepping into any level, and I just want to tell you this too from my perspective and those of you who have made a lot of money, same shit, just more zeros at the end, okay? Same crap in your mind, right? I'm not saving enough. I should be putting more away. Blah, 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 blah. It's just more to manage, okay? So my biggest recommendation to you in that is manage what you have now. Why would the universe bring you more if you can't manage what you've got? So get control of your money now. Be aware of everything you have. Have a plan to put some away, but know that money is to make things happen. And if you haven't read his autobiography, you know I'm a big fan of Richard Branson. He's like my imaginary boyfriend. And because I just love everything he does. He's just like Mr. Adventure Guy, save the world. He's awesome. And he's like that in person too.
And if you read his autobiography, it's called Losing My Virginity, How I Created the Virgin Brand. Yep, that's his humor, you know. And one of his first little businesses, I think it was his grandmother, gave him a few thousand dollars. And he said, but Grandma, you know, this is your money to put away. And she told him, but money's for making things happen. And when you are involved in taking those risks, think about what you have that money for. So are you saving money for what you don't want, like an emergency? Is that what that money's in your mind for? Is that money there for? Are you putting money away for what you don't want, or are you using it for what you do want? Investment, okay, in your business, making things happen, whether it's coaching, and I give you all, again, huge kudos for being in this room and stepping up into this program. And I think it was you, Christina, right, who said that the investments like this, that's the kick in the bum to get you to the next level, right? I remember I was hearing people talk about, you know, any opportunity when you're investing in a mentor or coaching or any of that. They were joking, like, well, it's like if you really had the money, we wouldn't need the mentor, right? Because the money's like to give you the kick in the pants to get to the next level, and like it all keeps moving you forward. But expect stuff to wig you out. And if money's an issue for you, that's really going to come up. And you just have to remember that. I know financial. Okay, this is for me. And I invite you to embrace this definition, but financial freedom is not a number in the bank for me. It's knowing that I can do this again and again and again and again and again, even if the world blew up, even if the economy takes a double dip like they think it may now, even if all hell broke loose, I know I could do this again, and so could all of you because you've done it before. That, to me, is true freedom. Having money in the bank, a lot of people who lost a lot of money over the last big boom, right, the down boom, they're stuck. I mean, they're screwed. I mean, they lost, like, most of their investments because they trusted the system. It's in the bank. A lot of it's gone now. They're in trouble. We have freedom because we can create this. We know how to use our talents and our skills in a business and create income. That is magic. We need to remember that we are the magicians, and we can do this over and over and over and over. Health issues as well. I notice when I am on the verge of something big, I get migraines. I get kind of knocked down for a while, and I don't know if it's the universe saying you need to rest and get ready for this, or maybe I'm being knocked down to download more and just actually just calm my body down. Maybe some of you have some insight in that if it's happened to you or if you have an energetic explanation. Just be ready for anything to happen. And actually, I'd like to hear from Sue and Joy because they had some stories as well when they were going through some, you know, real up level in their life. Let's hear from Sue first. I know some things erupted. And again, I don't want to bum you out with all this stuff, right? I mean, because we're all about this dream big, think big and all this stuff. But the more prepared you are and aware that this happens, you're just going to, when you get to this point, you're going to, oh, look, blew up another boyfriend. Okay, time to move on. It means I'm on the up level, right? Something good's around the corner. You start to just see that this is just the groove, and you expect what happens, and it's part of the process.
One of the things that I was talking to Allie about when she was doing this is, not too many people know that I came from a pretty high-level job in the corporate world where I flew all over the country and all over the world, and I went and taught people in England how to handle big nuclear disasters and things like that. Went to Buckingham Palace and talked to their staff. And then I had this job where I had plenty of money. We built our dream house. We paid cash for most of that dream house. But I always had the call on me to go be an entrepreneur. And so one of the four things that I have to tell you is that if you're an entrepreneur and you try to ignore that call, you'll just stick out or you'll never be happy in the job that you try to stay in. So I eventually left that big job, even though it meant instantly that we were going to lose over half our income. And here we had just built this dream house and so forth. And I left it because I wanted to go back into health and healing from whence I had originally come. So I wanted to leave this job where I flew all over everywhere and I had access to really high-level people and I helped the White House with their planning and all that kind of stuff. And I wanted to go be a massage therapist. And needless to say, my poor sweet husband, who is actually sitting over in the other side of the room, and my family, both they all thought I had kind of lost it, you know, and couldn't understand why I wanted to do this. So through that process of leaving and going off to school, I got comments from family and friends, and I remember I was finishing up a PhD at the time, and I remember my mother, who, of course, was very vested in having a daughter who went to the White House and did this and did that. We went back to her home for Thanksgiving, and we were sitting around the Thanksgiving table with her friends from the neighborhood who I didn't even know. And she looked at me because I was talking about that I was going to be graduating and taking my boards. And she said in front of all these people, "I don't understand why my daughter is wasting herself. You've flown all over the world, and you know all these great contacts, and now you're going to give it all up to rub other people's dirty feet." And so I had to really learn that I was going to get pressure because of their own fear. So I have four tips for people who are going through the process of when things get sticky and relationships get bad. And they are, first of all, that you cannot ignore the call to entrepreneurship despite your current success at your job, despite how much money you have in the bank, despite that we could do anything we wanted, basically, at that time. And when I left, I mean, we had to refinance our house. You know, we had all kinds of things that we had to do financially because of me leaving that job. Secondly, you have to commit fully to a path that you see only vaguely. You see it only vaguely. You are exactly right. You see the what, but you don't see the how. I knew I was going to go off to massage school. I had no idea what was going to come of that. I didn't know if I was going to have a private practice or whatever. And so you see it only vaguely, and the others who you love are going to react to that with doubt and fear and anger and disgust because they're scared, and they'll say that they're scared for you, but who they really are scared for is them. So you have to respect their fear but not buy into it and stay away from it when it gets too ugly or too negative. I didn't visit my mother again until I passed my boards.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the third thing is your relationships will change, as Allie said, including really solid, close ones. And you will lose friends. And you will lose family members who don't understand what you're up to. And it will strain relationships as it did ours. Because I couldn't really tell Bill what I was going to do with this. I just knew that I was called to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I went to do it. And I didn't know that I would end up, you know, creating this huge massage clinic that hired other people and that I was going to be on the staff of Massage Magazine and all those wonderful things that happened after. I didn't know it then. And then the fourth thing is trust that you can create the how from your really vague vision and that your energy and enthusiasm for the new thing will carry you forward. And so you just do it, and the how appears. And I really agree with you about that because I have been through that experience so many times. So that whole process of coming off this high place where I, you know, traveled all over and knew all these high-level people and so forth, and I became this, quote, lowly massage therapist, and then was able to create a whole other world around me. I didn't know that world at the time. Everybody who I see, who I work with now, they want their answers before they take their step. And you cannot have your answer. You have to take your step. And it is like stepping on that bridge where you don't see the step and you just have to step and something will come. So as it turned out, you know, it ended up fine for me. And then out of that and out of my writing for Massage Magazine and for many other business magazines about building practice, because within 2 years of opening a practice, I was booked a full year in advance. And I still have people fly in from all over the country to see me, even though I don't really do that anymore. I sold that practice back in December. I still understand that you have to take steps, even if you don't really know exactly how things are going to come out. And I think that ability to take risk is absolutely the most key thing that all of us can take as we start to create the lives we want. We have to be risk takers, and we will feel the pushback from family and friends. And we will lose people who you know don't want to be around such a risk taker. You will lose them. Your friends will change. So that, you know, the same thing happened to me a little bit when I went off to start Confident Marketer. But people already knew, well, she managed to, you know, make magic out of this massage thing, and so she'll make magic out of confident marketers. So then people start trusting you much. But, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You just have to be open to the mystery of it and be willing to take that risk and be willing to be a model for people, because you are a model for people. And, you know, if you think that you're neglecting your children because you have now something you're doing one morning a week and you're not taking them to school 5 mornings a week, you're only taking them 4, maybe it is that they also, you're giving them a wonderful gift of you as a model doing something that they will be able to model in their lives. So just, you know, give up the how of it and keep on going what you're called to do. And if you do it in faith, it will work out.
Beautiful. Thank you, Sue. Can we go to Joy? And then I invite you all to contribute, because this will be shared. And if you have advice or experiences that you've had, I'd love you to share that for what we're creating here in the room.
Thank you, Allie. So I'm going to share some things that I've never shared before. I've talked a little bit about it with Allie and James, but I want to be really open with you, because I think with JJ's transparency, I saw how it helped me, so I'm hoping it's going to help you too. So when I went to OSBW in 2008, I decided to join Allie's Platinum Program. And at that time, I really didn't have the money to join Allie's program. And on top of that, my husband was starting to show some real signs of kidney failure. But I was at a place in my life that I loved my business. I loved what I was doing. I felt in my heart that I knew that working with women and supporting them was really my future. That was my way. It came naturally to me, and I loved my work every day. But I knew that I had to have a program like Allie's to help take me forward, because I'd taken it as far as I could go. I really didn't understand online marketing. I built the business clearly on offline. And so I joined the program. I was very excited. I agree with Christina. It does kick you in the butt. It does make you realize, hey, I really need to make something happen, because I need to get my investment back. And all along that year in the program, my business really took off. I doubled my list. I had a lot more clients. I had more consistent cash flow and a lot of new things. But my husband was getting sicker as my business was growing and doing better, which was great. My husband was getting more ill. And by March or April of that year, the doctors had said, you're going to need a new kidney. You're going to need a kidney transplant. My husband has polycystic kidney disease. And he had received a kidney from his brother 11 years ago, and his parents were both too old at the time to donate their kidney. And no one was stepping forward, and he was on the transplant list, but it wasn't likely that he was going to get one in time before he'd have to go on dialysis. And so in June, it became very apparent through different discussions that I was the one that needed to potentially get tested to give my husband my kidney. And when I went in August to be tested at UCLA and I sat down to get the blood test, the nurse said, oh, you're here because you're going to be a possible donor. How wonderful. And I burst into tears. And I was so embarrassed because I was burst into tears because I didn't want to do it. My business, everything was going so great for me, and my happiness was here. This was my tribe. And it's not that I don't love my husband. Obviously, I do, but I was scared. I was scared because I had 2 little kids. I was scared because I didn't know what was going to happen. I was afraid. I'd always been a very healthy person. I'd never been in the hospital. And when she went to do the blood test, I said, oh, I'm a match. She said, oh, you've done the test. Well, we don't need to repeat the test. And I said, no, I've not had the blood test, but I know I'm a match. Because I knew that this was my cross to bear. This was what God was giving me, because I knew that I was going to be stepping into something bigger. And I couldn't understand why at the time, but of course I was a match. As you all know, I ended up donating, and I went through 4 months of testing. And so through the through some of the hardest times in my life, a lot of tears, a lot of things that nobody saw, I kept being tested every day, and tests kept coming back negative, and I'd have to go back and repeat them, and business was coming, and I couldn't figure out how to manage it all. And it through all of this, it helped me to reframe my life. I had to figure out new ways to get help for my children, new ways to get help in my business, things that I probably would have put off or maybe continued to hold on to.
Asking for help.
So it was a challenging time, but I think on the outside, everybody thought it was just like the greatest time of my life because things were going so well, especially at MPC. And I was really falling apart inside. But I wanted to be a good wife. I wanted to be a great mom, and I wanted to be a wonderful businesswoman. I mean, those were my three goals, and I was having a hard time and struggling every single day on how do I do all three of those things well.
Mm.
And some days I did them really well, and some days it was pretty shitty. You know, some days I didn't do such a great job. And